Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F., and normally it would be Wendy Snyder, but Wendy has the day off. We'll get into that in just a moment. But please welcome our friend Jim Toronto. Hello, Jim.
Thank you so much.
Nice to see you.
So good to be back with you. It's nice to see you out of your calf muscle boot.
Yes,
last time
you.
I was here,
I was hobbled.
You were hobbled
by Kathy Bates in a story that
Hello, Mr. Man
made into a movie that is very, very eerie.
Mr. Bill.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I'm
well,
healthy
I am your
again.
Biggest fan.
So. Well, thank you. That's very nice of you. Wendy, for those of you who did not hear yesterday's show, and we'll give you a brief update, is being honored at her school, at Arby's High School. Not the place
she still goes to school?
She's being honored at her school. Evidently, when she went originally, there were some math credits that didn't go through, so she's still auditing two
classes
a semester.
Always check those transcripts.
Oh. You know that is true.
Is this her grammar school or high school?
This is her high school, Arby High School in the western suburbs. So yesterday at the beginning of the show, we explained that Wendy sometimes, Steve, I hope I'm saying this eloquently enough, breathes on conflict, right?
Right.
She likes a little conflict in her life, and if there's more than one thing that she has to do in a day, it messes her up. So she decided she took today off, and I think she's taken all month off in October, too, for this. She's very extreme when it comes to taking
in the aftermath.
Yes, just to let it all settle.
Now, me on the other hand, I had a.
You see how I did that? It took him 30 seconds on Wendy, and then for me on the other hand.
Yeah, well,
hey, move on. You got to move
only
on.
Only got 2 hours, Steve.
You got to move on.
You know, you get to do this 5 days a week. I get to do it once every 4 months.
But here's the reason I bring this up is that Steve got a text last night. He was very kind enough to sell some well wishes to Wendy. And normally Wendy will respond to a text within seconds. How long did it take her to respond to yours, Steve?
She didn't respond.
She still has
still
not.
Waiting.
I feel guilty because we were kind of giving her a hard time yesterday. So, mm-hmm. Bill, after I told you that this morning,
mm-hmm.
I sent a follow up. I said, "How did it go last night?"
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Still nothing.
No.
She's in full panic mode.
Is it today?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, the event was last night, right?
Well, it's a two-parter.
Right.
Part one is...
It's a weekend.
It's a full weekend.
It's a junket.
Right.
It's a festival.
It is. It's a two-parter in that there's a ceremony that honors her and four other people from the school.
Wendy Palooza.
It's called Wendy Palooza, right.
And that was last night,
Perry
right?
Farrell put it together. That, I believe, was last night.
Okay.
And then today she goes back to the school, and the two different journalism classes get to kind of pepper her with questions. And that's what was freaking her out, because she kept saying, what if these kids ask me a question that I don't know the answer to?
What, like 7 plus 4? I mean, they're in high school.
I
what
know.
Are they gonna, what, the capital of Wyoming?
There's no geography questions at all. Yeah. But she's afraid that they'll ask her some sort of, I don't know what kind of question.
The Pythagorean theorem?
Yes. Yes. So that was playing on her quite a bit, was that what if these kids, these impressionable kids who want so badly to be journalists, ask me a question and I don't know the answer, it'll end in ruin.
The answer is don't do it.
Yes.
Well, that's why I felt kind of guilty last night, because I knew she was kind of nervous and
very
we were
nervous.
Teasing her.
Yeah.
So I sent her that text.
And it really helped, obviously. It really helped.
Right.
I know.
No one has seen her.
She's not usually madder at me than you, is she?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, don't flatter yourself,
not all
Steve.
The time.
He acts like he's a Robert Young over
no,
here.
No. She spreads her vitriol evenly. It's not just for you. It's not just for me. It's for America. All right. Well, we certainly hope all things went well and that we hear from her again at some point. That would be nice.
And there were no tough questions.
Only tough answers or tough people who ask the question. I don't remember what there is, but there's something. Now, you fall right in the middle of the news cycle, Jim, and here's why. As anybody
as
who
usual.
Ever heard you, yes, somehow the news becomes you. As we know, there's a battle going on between the leader of North Korea and the leader of the United States, and there's a lot of name-calling, and Mr. Trump called Mr. Kim Jong-un Rocket Man.
Right.
And, it took me about 5 seconds to think about you at this point. Because
well, that
you're
is
such
my
a
moniker.
Elton John fan. Is this good for business?
I would think, you know, at this point, I mean, Elton just turned 70 this year. I would think that any kind of front page news, if you are...
There's no such thing as bad publicity?
If you are especially a classic, an older entertainer, to open the eyes of the young generation, it certainly can't hurt. I mean, Rocket Man is a well-known song. I would assume if you've even heard of Elton John, you've heard of Rocket Man. But at the same time, I would love to go online and see if there's like people downloading either Elton albums or that song or something.
But if you're Elton John and you get up a few mornings ago and you see that in the news,
oh, he's all over.
Trump has called Kim Jong-un Rocket Man. You smile or you go, oh, don't bring me into this.
Well, I think it depends. I mean, I know that Elton has actually had a relationship with Donald Trump. As I said, he opened the Taj Mahal, Trump's Taj Mahal, back in 1990.
In Atlantic City.
He was the opening act for that. At the same time, I believe there were rumors that he was asked to play at the inauguration, and Elton turned it down. So, you know, who knows what his personal, you know, feelings are. So I would think at some point you look at it, if you have a real personal, you know, hatred for the man, then mm-hmm. I don't want to be in this. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it from your career standpoint, in today's world, really any kind of publicity is good publicity. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I think the fact that that he's calling him on a daily basis, this is now being picked up by other people in the media. It's not just Donald Trump.
Sure.
Now everybody's calling him.
Wouldn't it be cool if they have peace talks and Elton John had an opening concert?
You know, it's the opening act.
Right. That would be cool.
They'll be in Geneva, you know, getting all together, and all before that, the curtain will raise, and
right.
There's Elton. Now, he is playing in Australia. He just started another leg of a tour, and he just played last night in Australia, which is obviously a day different. So I don't know if he made reference to this or if he's just going to let it take on its own life, and he just sits on the side and lets the media do with it. But I mean, I've seen there is so much on the web now. I mean, political cartoons. I saw one. There was a picture of Un, Trump, and Elton, and it said, "Will the real Rocket Man please stand up?"
It's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's all you see. Then I've seen people who have been with Photoshop have had a ball with this.
Oh yeah, sure.
They've been putting Kim Jong-un's face
on Elton John bodies
and record albums, album covers, and so
you know, they kind of have the same body.
They have the same face. I mean, and the same hair now, even though Elton's is purchased.
Do you remember when, I think it was during Ronald Reagan's presidency, when they decided to name the missile system the Star Wars missile system, and George Lucas a day later went, oh no.
Nuts. Oh yeah, you can't do that.
No,
right.
No, I don't want my name involved in this.
Well,
please.
The funny part of this too is, if you remember, Elton does not write the words.
Yeah, Bernie Taupin
writes the words. So really, even though Elton is obviously associated with the song, if you want to get to the heart of it, you should actually go to Bernie Taupin and say, how do you feel about
it?
Because Donald Trump actually co-opted Bernie Taupin's lyric. Elton sings it. It's associated with him. But it was Bernie Taupin who came up with it. And apparently, from what I understand, I'm not a huge Ray Bradbury fan, but apparently there is a Ray Bradbury book called The Rocket Man.
Oh.
And that's where Bernie Taupin
got the title from. Interesting.
But like I said, Bernie is actually the guy to go to and say, how do you feel about this?
Well, Rocket Man started it, but we'll tell you the next wave in name-calling, because it gets crazier, believe it or not. That's coming up in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill F. and Jim Toronto in for Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff and it's Jim Toronto. Two different texters want to know William Shatner's stance on all this.
Yeah.
William Shatner, of course, did a cover version of Rocket Man.
Yes, he did that. I believe it was at some kind of back in the 70s at a Canadian award show.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out with a cigarette and just said, she packed my bags last night.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-flight. And the funniest thing is, if you ever watch Family Guy, they did a takeoff on that with Stewie, which is genius.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
That is on the web, too.
Yeah? What isn't on the web again? Remind me.
That's true. There's about, well...
Everything that's ever happened.
Yeah, pretty much. Me, aside from that.
You're not on the web.
No.
All right, so round one was Donald Trump calls... Now, this gets hard to follow, but let's do it piece by piece. Donald Trump refers to Kim Jong-un as Rocket Man.
Right.
Then it settles in a little bit. And then yesterday, Kim Jong-un responded by calling him, now I'm going to pronounce this correctly and then incorrectly on purpose.
Exactly.
Dotard.
A dotard. A dottering old man.
Right. D-O-T-A-R-D. However, when he first said this, if you were watching the cable news, everybody was saying that it was pronounced dotard, which is incorrect.
Right.
Both politically and grammatically.
And we know what word they're referring to.
Of course we do.
With the tard. But
right.
It's
you can't say anything that ends in T-A-R-D. You can't say leotard. If you're a ballet dancer, it's offensive, so please do not.
Or you're late. You're not tardy.
You can't say tard. You have to say you're late.
No.
So people went, hey, what are you doing? You can't say that. Not because it referred to Donald Trump, but because it's politically incorrect.
I don't think that Kim Jong-un cares about political correctness.
I don't think he does.
Do you?
I don't think he does. So that word, the meaning of that word, dotard, we've all heard that phrase, doddering old fool.
Kind of, you know, an old person that's a little, you know, disheveled or disorganized or a little out of it.
He said, I will surely and definitely tame the mentally deranged U.S. dotard with fire. Now, the part that should alarm us is the part about the with fire.
Yeah, right.
Because that's the part that you go, oh, no, yeah. That means he's got something fiery that he's going to hurl toward not just the president, but the country the president is inhabiting. Let's be afraid of that. No. But more people picked up on the name calling.
The dotard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I was saying earlier, so then Trump came back today, this morning,
yep.
And called Kim Jong-un a madman.
Yes, he did.
And whether he knows it or not, another Elton reference.
Oh, it is?
Madman Across the Water.
Oh, right. So in the old days, we thought of Donald Trump, well, he's just regurgitating what he sees on Fox News. He watches Fox News and then he just said it. But now we know there's a JR's music shop near him, and he's just going through the Elton John albums.
Yeah, or he listens to The Drive.
Good. Well, that's good for everybody, yeah, isn't it?
Right.
Who loses in that equation? Now, what nobody is saying is the truth is that both guys...
He's into vinyl now. That's
yeah,
why.
He loves the vinyl.
He loves vinyl.
Yeah. Both guys are actually kind of correct in their assessment of who their opponent is. You could make the argument that Donald Trump is like your great-grandfather and he's just wandering off. You could also make the assumption that Kim Jong-un is just nuts. He's the guy across the water who's nuts.
Right. He is the madman across the water, literally.
Yeah.
Actually, that one works better than Rocket Man now that
Way
I think
better.
About it.
Way better.
Because he is across the water.
So now, will this become the standard now? Will it just be, I'll call you a name, then you'll call me a name, then I'll call you a name? Or does it get uglier from there?
Well, that's the way it usually is in the schoolyard, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's where the discourse has gone now.
Yes.
We're not talking about Malta here with FDR and
right.
Stalin and Churchill. We're basically, you know, in the schoolyard at St. Bart's on the Northwest Side.
You're fat, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're
yeah.
ugly. That's
oh, yeah,
what it
you
is.
Think, I am, but what are you?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's we're at that level right now.
How long before Trump and Kim Jong-un start ripping on each other's mothers? Is that going to happen this week? Is
oh,
that
I think that's Tuesday.
By Tuesday,
oh, yeah.
He'll start
yeah.
ripping on each other's moms.
He'll probably start with his father, since he was a well-known
Fred,
despot.
Fred Trump?
No, no, I mean...
Oh,
Kim
the other well-known despot.
I don't know if he was a despot.
He was.
Maybe. Yeah,
he was, I guess.
Yeah, so maybe he'll go after that. I mean, think about, you know, how prescient were Trey Parker,
yes.
you know, the guys from South Park, where they were making fun of his dad...
15 years ago.
On American, what was that? American, what was the name of that? The puppet movie.
The police movie?
Yeah. Remember that? They were superheroes. It was like a Thunderbirds kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the marionettes.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, they had a puppet
right.
of him.
Right.
I mean, and
right.
at that time, nobody really even knew who he was or why they were, you know. We
why
knew
go
he was,
after this guy?
Yeah, we knew he was some crazy guy, but like to have made him the star villain.
I still remember when he died, I don't remember who the commentator was, but somebody on the news said, you got to watch his kid because his kid is even wackier than he is. And everybody went, oh, no.
Can't be.
That's impossible.
Well, you know, what I love about this whole thing, too, though, is when you think about, we know that Kim Jong-un loves to exaggerate. I mean, I've heard a story where he claims that he never golfed before and he had
all the holes in one.
All
the first time
one.
He ever golfed
yeah.
out of the 18 holes, he had 14 holes in
yeah.
one.
Yeah, I mean, so. Yeah. So I just wonder, too, we know that Trump is.
Prone to exaggerate?
Prone to exaggerate. And we know that this guy is certainly prone to exaggerate because it's in his autobiography. I
yeah.
mean, it's part of his mythology over there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm certainly as afraid as anyone, to your point about the fire,
yeah.
walk with me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just wonder if this is really just a couple of bullies just posturing as well.
Well, they really are. If you look at the similarities and the differences... I would make the argument there's a lot more similarities between those two guys than there are differences.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
They really...
The hair?
They're cut of the same cloth. Right. The interesting hairstyle.
I mean, don't you want to go up and just rub his hair?
Oh, who doesn't?
I have to say, though, I'm not a fan of Kim Jong-un, but I sort of do like the gray and black...
looks good on him.
Jacket that
looks
he wears.
Very
all the time.
Stylish.
It's kind of like a Nehru-ish.
Right.
Thing. I do like that.
That's from Backrack's in the mall.
Right.
He gets that from Backrack's.
It was
all right. So which
I saw that at Jay Riggins?
Is it a Jay Riggins? All right. So which Halloween costume will be the most popular this year? Will it be?
Oh wow!
Donald
good,
Trump.
Good call.
Kim Jong Un or Pennywise the Clown from It?
Oh,
who Pennywise. Will be? Who will be the more popular of the three Halloween costumes?
Wow, I'll tell you. I mean,
or let me add one fourth one. Sexy Kim Jong-un.
Well,
or naughty Kim
Jong-un.
Well,
that goes without
you don't even
saying.
Have to say it. Yeah. Everybody knows.
Now, what's I think William Hung's career is going to come back, too.
From American Idol?
Yeah. He sort of looks like him.
A little bit.
What was that song that he did?
She Bang.
Yeah. So, wow, perfect. He Bang.
Yeah, right.
He banged the world.
It all pays off. All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and Jim Toronto in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. And Jim Toronto is sitting in for Wendy, who's accepting an award.
Leave it at that.
Let's just leave it at that, shall we? It's not her first award. Will it be her last award?
But it is maybe an Oscar. So right. I can see why she would
right.
be.
Right.
She would need a weekend to
just digest it all. Boy, what a crazy story this is. And now it takes another twist. The other night, the New York Yankees are playing the Minnesota Twins in a very, very important game. Both the Yankees and the Twins look like they're going to be the wild card winners in the American League. So they're playing a game, and up at bat is Todd Frazier, and Todd Frazier hits a ball as hard as you can possibly hit a ball down the left field line. It goes foul. It's just around the third base area, and it strikes a very young child right in the face.
Little girl.
And this ball, now, I made a point of saying this yesterday because I've seen the footage many times. A lot of times if you're at a baseball game and somebody hits a foul ball, there's some arc to the ball. It'll pop up, it'll go, and you'll have a little bit of reaction time. This was absolutely a laser shot off of his bat. They estimated it was around 105 miles an hour as it was leaving. There was almost no time at all to dodge out of the way, especially with a parent holding a small child. And this girl got pegged in the face in the worst possible way. What followed was, I think, very appropriate, which is they did not hurry the game along. Todd Frazier came out of the batter's box.
He was visibly shaken.
Oh, yeah.
As were many of the players on the field. A couple of them, I mean, their faces were aghast, and I even saw one player was tearing up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was...
You really saw both teams just realizing at that point, we're playing a game and it's all fun, but the importance is somebody's life could be in the balance through no fault of their own. All Todd Frazier was doing what he was paid to do, which is swing a bat at a baseball and hopefully
hit
it.
Yeah, there was no intent. He didn't, and the bat didn't fall out of his hands. It wasn't like some silly thing like that. I mean, he was just swinging at a pitch like he does
every day,
which he's paid to do.
Yeah. So would you say roughly, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes elapsed while they came and tended to this little kid and took them away?
It was even more than that, I think.
And I like the fact that the umpires weren't in hurry-up mode, like, come on, time is money, we got to get this game on. They let it play out, the players, as we mentioned, visibly shaken by the idea of all this. All right, so now the story is surfacing, and I think everybody kind of thought this when they found out about the story or you saw it, which is... Is there some responsibility, some culpability on the behalf of Yankee Stadium or of Major League Baseball? What do we do now? These things don't happen frequently. When you think about it, you know, there's about 250 pitches in a Major League Baseball game. You multiply that by 14 or 15 games a day. You multiply that times 162.
Games,
this does not happen a lot, but it does happen.
And the question is, if it happens one time,
right,
is that one time too many?
Right.
Especially, you know, what they've said about, they haven't really gone into the extent of her injuries. It has to have been, if she got hit in the face with a ball that you're talking about, is that fast? I mean, they had to do some major structural damage to
you
her
would
face,
imagine.
Nose, teeth, brows, who knows?
Right.
So the question then comes, you know, they said, well, she's going to be okay. Well, we have to define okay.
Yeah.
Is she going to be 8 months worth of surgery? Is she going to have headaches for the rest of her life? I mean, okay, if okay means that she's going to be alive, then that's our definition. But okay is going to be, is she going to be in the hospital for years? Is there going to be long-term effects? That's where you have to say now is something, does something need to be done in baseball
to prevent this?
Prevent this.
Our number, by the way, 312-981-7200. You can call us or text us there. As we talked about this yesterday on the stream, Kevin brought up a good point, which is I kept searching to try to get an up-to-the-minute report on this girl's health. They had said yesterday and again this morning that she's still in the hospital, but they're very vague beyond that. Kevin said HIPAA laws prevent them from being more specific, and I also have to wonder that if there is some sort of a legal case brewing, right, if maybe they don't want to disclose too many details for those reasons also. You know?
Well, and not only that, but you know that what this does raise the specter of too is that, you know, how many times, even when you're watching a baseball game on television and they will shoot to the crowd,
mm-hmm,
half the time people are not paying attention,
right?
And it's not just it's a little kid,
right,
maybe sitting on their parent's lap,
right?
It's teenagers, it's adults, it's whatever. Everybody's looking at their phone, they're talking to their friends, and the thing is, when you go to a baseball game, you have to pay attention.
Yeah,
I mean, because every pitch has the potential
to be this dangerous,
to be something that could alter your life. Now, hockey several years ago, and I remember going to the Chicago Stadium when I was a little kid, and pucks were flying out of the playing area over the glass.
Yeah,
so, I mean, I remember seeing Bobby Hull. I mean, all it would take is just to tip one of his slap shots.
Yeah,
and that's a laser beam.
Yeah,
you know this, and then it's a black disc on top of it where it gets lost.
Right.
Well, at least the baseball is white if you, right, had to react.
Yeah.
And so finally, what was it? Maybe 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago, I believe it. Once again, it was either a young woman or a small child that got hit in the face with a deflected puck behind the net.
Right.
And that's when they put the nets up behind, just behind the nets.
Yeah.
Because the odds of a puck flying with that kind of velocity on the sides, you know, is not
much
very
more
common.
Slim, right.
But baseball, I mean, in where she was sitting, right on the third base line, as you're saying, I mean, okay, those are the best seats in the house.
Yeah, right.
So are you going to, if you're the Yankees or you're Major League Baseball and you've got people paying $150 or $200 a seat for those seats, are you going to put up a net?
People would complain.
And they're going to have to now watch a game through a net.
Right. So you would get complaints. I know you'd,
yeah,
get complaints because I've sat behind at baseball games behind the home plate where people are going, who can see behind this?
So now what if that encircles the entire crowd?
Right.
The entire bowl of a baseball,
right,
stadium. Are people going to, I mean, that's part of baseball's attraction. Is the pastoral,
yeah,
community of
you're
it.
So close to the action.
You're close, but not even if you're close to the action, you're out in the sun,
yeah,
and there's grass, and there's players, and now suddenly if there's,
right,
a net there,
right,
that cuts me off from that,
yeah,
kind of warm fuzzy.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. This is a tough one.
Do you remember when we were kids, and I found a story to back this up, Manny Mota was a guy who played...
on the Dodgers.
For the Dodgers, right. I think he played for other teams,
but
too,
but amazing.
I remember him mostly, yeah, with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah.
So he hit a guy, a kid, foul ball, I think. And well, it must have been a foul ball, obviously. and that kid died.
Oof.
Here's the story. 14-year-old Alan Fish got hit in the temple by a ball off the bat of Dodgers player Manny Mota. Alan Fish died 4 days later, May 16, 1970.
Yeah.
2 months after Fish was struck, Evelyn Jones attended a Pirates game on the inaugural opening of Three River Stadium. Jones was hit in the eye during batting practice while she was standing in the right field walkway, according to legal documents. Now, you think about this during a game. I'm sure you've been near a foul ball where people's reactions vary from, I got to get out of the way,
to
oh, I've always dreamt of catching a foul ball.
Right.
I'm going for it.
Yeah.
You know, you get a little bit of everything, but when you think about the end result could be death, as happened to this kid.
Well, and to your point, which is a good point, you know, when that's a line drive,
yeah,
that Frazier hit.
Yeah.
Now, as odd as it was, I went with my mom and dad and my wife. We went to a game several years ago, and we had fairly good seats. And when we sat down, I said, we can get a foul ball here.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, there was a righty up, was a Cub. Mm-hmm. I think it was, remember Glanville?
Doug Glanville.
Yeah.
Center fielder.
Yeah. So he hit a foul ball, and we were, you know, on the third base side, and he hit a foul ball, and as you said, you know, it goes up, it angled up.
Yeah.
It was a high fly, you know, foul,
yeah,
that kind of bananas. So it actually comes back, when you hit a foul ball, it comes back toward the field.
Yeah,
it
spins back.
It spins back. So I'm seeing this thing, and it goes past us, but I said, as my days as a catcher, I'm like, this thing's coming back toward us. You know, look out.
Yeah.
It winds up hitting the hand of the, there's a guy, you know, reaching for it in front of us,
yeah,
hits his palm, ricochets up. My mom jumps and grabs the ball after it ricocheted off this guy's hand. So she grabbed the ball.
Wow.
Yeah. Puts it in her, puts it, and then puts it down like in her waist.
There
because everybody's,
it?
Everybody's yeah. grabbing it. And so I said, why you do that? She goes, I figured, who's going to grab an old lady's, you know, midsection?
People would.
Yeah, but meanwhile, the guy whose hand it hit had to be ushered out.
Did he break his hand?
He probably
did. There's a lot of force.
And that ball, as I said, was a lofty banana.
Right.
That wasn't a line drive.
Yeah.
And once again, I mean, the Bartman thing is the most obvious of that. When there is a foul ball, there is this weirdness of uncertainty. Do I go to catch it, or do I realize that this thing is potentially, you know, a weapon?
I said yesterday, having attended hundreds of games in my life, when a foul ball is hit, depending on where you're sitting, there are balls that you think, oh, this is coming right at me. Yeah. And then when it lands, it's way far away. And there's other times where you go, that's way over. No, wait a minute.
Well, that's what I said. This one went way over our heads. I thought it was going to go into the upper deck.
Yeah.
And then when I saw it, I go, hey, wait a minute. That's coming back.
They're so hard to read. And that's with reaction time. In a case like this, or what just happened, there was no reaction time.
And just think of this. I just thought of this now. Todd Frazier was on the Sox at the beginning of the season.
Yes, he was.
So if he doesn't get traded.
Yeah, this doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen.
Right, I know.
How weird is that?
It is weird. All right, what do you do about this? If you're a fan of sports, you're paying a lot of money to go to the games. Are you okay with a net? Or one of the texters has suggested plexiglass. I'm not positive that that's the answer. But what do you think? Would you put up with that, watching a game through a net or plexiglass? We'll get to those next. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Jim Toronto in for Wendy on WGN. It is Bill Leff and Jim Toronto who's sitting in for Wendy. It's award season, so Wendy takes a few days off. We're telling you the story of what went on in New York the other day. A little girl attending a Yankees game is hit with one of the hardest foul balls I've ever seen off the bat of Todd Frazier, formerly of the White Sox, now a member of the New York Yankees. Really hard hit to the face, an awful, awful story. They take about 3 or 4 minutes out to tend to the girl, but the girl is still in the hospital. So now the story comes out today that there's possible legal action, maybe against Yankee Stadium, maybe against Major League Baseball, both with claims that they could have done more to protect this little girl or any fan who's attending a game. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to chime in. Let's start out with Dolly. Hi, Dolly.
Hi, guys. I love you, Bill and Wendy and Jim. You're a hoot. I just want to make this brief. I mean, who takes a two-year-old to a baseball game? The parents should assume some of the responsibility. If they could afford these seats, I'm sure they could have afforded a babysitter. I mean, this is a baseball game. A two-year-old doesn't know anything about baseball. It's a baseball game, not a doll party.
I know this will sound awful, but one of my fondest memories was my dad taking me to my first baseball game at the age of 2. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Do you remember it?
I do remember it.
At 2?
Yeah, 2 years old.
Wow. Well,
but I know for most people, that is a strange move. But I see plenty of little kids. I see babies there all the time at Wrigley.
I remember I took my godson, who was probably 6 or 7 months old, to a baseball game with his mom.
There's common sense. Balls are going to come flying out of every place. My father used to take me to games, too, but I think I was about 5 or 6, and I already was playing baseball.
Do we know how old this girl was?
The girl is 2 years old. Now, Dolly, in all honesty, if a ball is hit that hard, whether you're 2 years old or 5 years old or 50 years old, you're going to get hit hard with that ball. You can't react fast enough.
Yeah.
That is true, yeah.
But to Dolly's point, if you remember a couple of years ago, there was a fan that was actually being somewhat applauded. I didn't applaud him. He caught a foul ball, but he had like a toddler. A beer and a baby in his hand, and he caught the ball. And I was like, this is not something that we should be celebrating. This poor baby could have been killed, but the dad wanted the ball.
Yeah.
And they said, what a great catch. It's like, well, no, what a bad parent.
Risking his baby's life just to catch a ball. That's exactly what I mean. I mean, there's common sense.
Sure.
You got to use common sense.
Absolutely. Dolly, have a great weekend. Thank you for calling.
You too. I love you guys.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you.
I give you so much credit for not saying
hello Dolly.
Hello, Dolly.
Tempting.
Yes, hello,
I had
Dolly.
Satchmo ready to go.
It's so nice.
I know. Joe is on the line. Hello, Joe.
He's dead, by the way.
Hey, Bill.
What's up?
Just a couple things, actually. I believe baseball, when you're buying tickets for a ball game, I believe somewhere in the writing. They
There's a disclaimer on the back of the ticket. It's,
right.
It says so, that they are not responsible. Right, I know.
Right.
I know.
And the other thing, I don't believe in a net or the plexiglass there. They should just not allow small children down on that lower level because that's where the bullets come from. They don't do that when they're going up into the stands or, you know, higher up into the seats. It's not traveling that fast like that. But children or people, even adults, that don't pay attention to the game are the ones that generally get hurt.
That makes sense.
So it's, you know, they just need to change the rules as far as it goes with the lower level like that.
So you're saying from here on in, it's a rule that if you have a child of X amount of years or younger, upper deck only, huh?
Well, not all the way to the upper deck, but, you know,
a safer area.
Into the mezzanine seats or whatever you call them back there. Down there, a child is not looking at a young child. Yeah. Not watching the field.
Yeah, but what about a teenage girl that's on her that's texting? She's not watching either.
That's what I'm saying. People who just don't pay attention are the ones that are generally getting hurt.
Well, yeah, but then the ushers are going to have to hey, pay attention.
Right, you're scolded for not paying attention.
Pay attention.
The people, they just have to start taking a little responsibility for themselves. I mean, if you're going to go to a ball game, watch the ball game. Don't look at your phone and don't sit and talk to all your friends for an hour. And you're not even there to watch the game half the time.
So they should hire the nuns as ushers. Hey, you pay attention.
Big rulers. Big cub ruler. They could sell those at the...
Right, in the concession stand.
Yeah, you can buy one and then hit the person next to you. Hey, pay attention.
I don't agree with putting up the plexiglass or the netting.
Seems a little intrusive, doesn't it?
The entire area.
I get it.
It really does.
All right, Joe, thanks. Have a good weekend. Thanks. Let's check in with Ryan Burrow. Ryan is in our sports department currently because of the story, I believe. Ryan, what do we know about it?
The MLB commissioner yesterday said that this is something they're encouraging, extending this net. We already know that the Cincinnati Reds have announced they will do that this offseason.
Because of this?
Well, this, and you know, this isn't the first time this has happened, obviously, and there are concerns. And you have to understand, too, there is some importance in, you know, having these people who are in these 100 level seats feel protected.
I mean,
these people are spending probably more money for the game in these lower levels, and they want them to feel a sense of security to be there.
Sure.
You know, all these discussions about, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't have kids down there and stuff. You know, the fact of the matter is these balls are coming off these bats at 105 miles an hour. What's your reaction going to be?
Yeah, a 30-year-old can't react.
You're looking at your beer. You're looking at, you know, the scoreboard. You're looking at what. I mean, I know we like to think that people are tuned into the game straight for 3.5 hours, but that
doesn't work
reality.
That way.
I mean,
yeah. And Ryan, I have to tell you, I can't say how many texts we have right now from people who are telling me stories about loved ones or friends that were hit at a baseball game.
Right.
My guess is we would have gotten one or two or three of those. I got dozens of them. People saying it happened.
My dad's uncle, Ronald Dyke, 2007, got hit in the face. Hugest Cubs, biggest Cubs fan you could ever imagine, and got hit in the face. Plenty of stitches. You should see the pictures of his face. I mean,
the ball or him had stitches.
No, both. Yeah, it was a mess, and you know, he felt bad coming out and saying anything. And his wife did actually in a Sun Times article saying that, you know, she thought this should have happened, that they should extend the net. And you know, if you read some of the editorials that came in after, they said, oh, you know, you need to shut your mouth, and you should be lucky that you sat in the 100 seats. And you know, I mean,
but he doesn't want, as a baseball fan, he understands the risk of sitting in those seats, and he doesn't want to condemn the team or Major League Baseball. He was just there to enjoy a baseball game. But
and the biggest Cubs fan there is. He felt awful that he was in this situation. But on the other hand, too, he got hit in the face with a pitch or with a batted
with
ball,
a foul ball.
So how long would they? How long would they? Are they? How far are they extending the how far down the baseline?
In Cincinnati, they're going to go as far as the dugout goes.
Oh wow!
The beginning. Of the dugout or the back of the dugout?
The back end of the dugout.
Oh, the back end.
It all the way down the dugout.
That's a pretty
big. And the plan would be to cover the entire. I'm trying to think of how this would work.
There have been arguments that maybe they should bring it all the way down the foul line.
Yeah.
I don't think teams are ready to make that commitment yet, but in this situation, it seems like at least behind the dugout, this girl may have been prevented from getting hit, you know, if at least it had gone that distance.
Let me get in another quick call. Tom, go ahead. You're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Hello?
There you are. Sorry. Who is this, Terry?
Yes,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Terry. What did you want to say?
Just real quick. So I had tickets in foul ball territory behind on the third base line behind the bullpen, the old bullpen.
Yeah.
I upgraded when the Cubs were really bad, like 2011 or 12, and I'm now behind home plate, behind the netting.
It's the guy with the pink hat.
You know, I'm not that guy, but I'm not that low.
Oh.
But I'll tell you, when I was over there by the bullpen, I was always making sure I was going to sit in the seat closest to the plate, so it's protect my kids, my family, and everything. Now I sit in these seats behind home plate, and I don't have a worry. The net doesn't bother me at all. When I got the seats, you know, we picked them up in January.
Yeah.
It was like, wow, I hope this doesn't bother me. It has never been an issue.
Not at all, huh?
Not at all. You don't see it. And the positive part of it is I don't worry about getting hit by a ball now. I can just completely enjoy myself without being concerned about it.
Interesting.
So there's a positive aspect to it as well in terms of enjoying the game.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. Well, thank you, Terry. I appreciate the call. Have a good weekend. I'm sure you've seen this. I see this every baseball game. Somebody's batting, the pitch is thrown, they foul it behind them very hard. And even though those people are sitting there and they know there's not just netting, there's a full-on gate. The ball cannot get through the gate. You see everybody flinch.
I was just going to say, I've sat behind the plate many times, and that foul ball comes, and you just jump.
Yeah.
You flinch.
It's just an
impulse. That's my point. It's not about kids. It's anyone. It's impossible to react, and as I said, even on a lofty foul ball, it's impossible not to think about catching it at the same time.
Right.
Think about your safety.
Right.
And that's all has to happen in two
that
seconds.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Here's 224 says, stop making more rules. Parents are responsible for their child's safety. Watch the game at your own risk. I'm sorry that child got hurt, but that's on the parents. I can't blame the parents. I know what they're going for. But when something happens just out of the blue like that, a ball is hit that hard, there's no reaction time.
What it comes down to, this is not a common thing. It's kind of a freak accident. But the fact of it is that every pitch, the potential for this does exist. And so there, you have to begin to think about some ways to prevent, at least to some extent,
yes,
the safety of and regardless of whether they spend $300 a seat or not,
right?
You know, if you sneak down from the bleachers and sit down in those seats, you still should be protected.
Absolutely,
doesn't matter if you spend $300 on a seat.
I'm interested that some teams are making a big deal out of this. I mentioned this yesterday. Remember when? Boy, was this a couple of years ago? Some bridge collapsed, and everybody said, "Hey, now we need to fix our bridges. We got to do something because if that bridge collapsed, I bet all the bridges are going to collapse."
And then
everybody talked 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So everybody talked about it like crazy for a day or two, and then they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Isn't this one of those things that could easily fall into that bracket where everybody goes, "We got to do something"?
Very easily, because this is par. This is common.
Yeah,
I mean, there are not nets up at games. That's not the norm.
Yeah.
So it could easily, I mean, you know, this girl is going to fade into, you know, whatever
oblivion.
The next little shiny key we have and with the next trending topic.
I do have to say, on the games, both hockey and baseball, where I have sat behind netting, it bothers me like crazy for an inning. And by the second inning, I don't notice it at all.
No. But I just think there may be some, especially from, season ticket holders. Because don't forget, you're going to one game a year, maybe two, three, or ten. But you're going to go to 80.
Right.
Maybe they're going to say, "Hey, I don't want to sit and watch this through, a net for 80 games."
Let me get a couple more calls in really quickly before we go to news. Steve, stand by. I know there's news to be had. every line is busy. Karen, hi. Thanks for holding. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Anyway, as I'm thinking about this and I'm listening to the other calls coming in, so much sense is made of both sides. And it's unfortunate the little girl, you know, is really probably damaged. But I thought in my mind initially, and I'm listening now, you know, to other sides, but I thought, you know what, they'll just suck it up. Maybe the parents wanted to be close so they could keep the kid engaged. And, you know, you take your chances. The kid could have fallen off a ramp, so on and so on. I think the ball clubs will suck it up and no net, and lawsuits will be filed and they'll pay.
Yeah.
There's money.
That's how it'll end up.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Karen.
We're coming up on the end of the season anyway, so it will be forgotten.
That's a good point. Yeah, baseball's almost over.
Right, so true. Yeah. All right, Karen, thank you. I appreciate it. Can I tell you my favorite text? 312 says, "What's baseball?"
And on that note,
I don't know. It's America's pastime. Come on. That's just rude.
That person knows what curling is,
right,
but does not know what baseball is.
Several people alluded to this, and I think we said this a little bit to some extent, that as a parent, you realize when you bring your kid to a game that there is some risk, but it's just such a magical rite of passage as a parent to bring your kid to a baseball game that you kind of suck it up a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, that's so part of the baseball experience is to be out in this park with the grass
field.
And the field and the sky.
I know.
You hear the
you don't want to compromise any of that.
Yeah, and that's
I know.
And baseball has to look at ways to keep their fans.
Right.
They're losing
Not repel
fans.
Any fans. Yeah, all right. So. Sorry that this went long, and I appreciate everybody who's still on hold. We'll take a break, get some news in, and then there's a lot more show. Jim Toronto's in for Wendy, and I'm Bill. This is WGN. Steve, thanks. Sorry that the news was late. There was some turmoil backstage.
Yes, I was aware of it.
You knew.
Yeah.
All right. Everything's back to normal now, or as normal as things get anyway.
At least we didn't get the wrong envelope.
Right. As so often happens at awards presentations. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. He'll fix whatever ails you. Kurt has a great website, TVShowPatrol.com.
Steve does too.
Yeah. Steve also has a website with that name. And yes, there's legal entanglements. All right.
I don't talk to Steve anymore.
No, why would you? Kurt, yesterday we got some tragic news from one of the stars of Riverdale. Now, this is the show that does an update on Archie. Some sort of a car accident? Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, he's okay.
He is all right.
The guy who plays Archie, KJ Apa.
Oh, thank God for that.
He was driving home.
Who died? Jughead?
Come on. It's a car accident. Yeah. What?
He was driving home after a 14-hour day.
Yeah.
He drove his car into a pole.
He fell asleep at the wheel.
Yeah, fell asleep at the wheel. So, Warner Brothers in their infinite wisdom.
He's laughing.
Warner Brothers in their infinite wisdom blamed the victim.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they said, if he was tired, he has options. He could have taken a van. He could have had somebody drive him home in a van. He could have called a cab.
Right.
Stuff like that, which is not the good response.
No, of course not.
So now their union, SAG-AFTRA, the actors union, it's going up to Vancouver to investigate.
To say you worked him too long.
Yeah, because apparently it's not the first time that there have been complaints about the long hours on that show.
Yeah. Hmm.
And it is kind of an issue. I was reading some story about years ago somebody died in a one-car crash after
for similar reasons.
Yeah, it was a crew member.
Oh.
And it had been like a 19-hour day after two 14-hour days or something like that. And now
to make Riverdale it takes hours?
Yes, it does.
It sounds like it takes 7 minutes to
come
make
on.
That previous one wasn't on that show, but you know, I mean, I've talked to the guys at Chicago Fire and Chicago PD. They do work long
hours. You put in a long day.
But, you know, everybody does on those shows, but they do offer the options for rides and everything. But
so will he continue
to have a certain amount of time between,
right,
you know, last call and early call or whatever the last
call is. Will he continue to work?
He's fine. He's fine. All he did was hurt his rental vehicle.
Okay. Well, that's good news then.
He will be suspended, according to Mr. Weatherby.
Have detention?
And Miss Grundy.
Every time I hear that, though, I do the Archie, the Edith Bunker Archie.
Oh, no, that's a different Archie.
No, that's a different Archie.
It's a totally different Archie. All right, and then there's some casting news over at the reboot of Roseanne. Now, I didn't realize this. Almost everybody from the original cast is coming back, and I was assuming that Johnny Galecki, who has found bigger and greater success on his show, on
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, thanks.
It's only the number one show to talk about it.
I can't remember. I assumed he would not be coming back because he's got the number one show on TV, but he is coming back.
Maybe he'll have the number one and number two show.
Oh, wow. That'd be something.
I didn't think he'd come back.
No.
I think that was being negotiated the whole time. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's nice. It's good, right? Maybe he won't be, you know, he probably won't be a regular, maybe.
But he'll make some appearances.
And of course, you know, I discovered on this show that I do a John Goodman.
John Goodman.
Hey, Roseanne.
You could do his stunt voice work.
I could. How you doing, Bill?
And both Beckys.
Both Beckys.
Becky number one and Becky number two will both be on the show.
Right.
How will they explain that?
They will have cloned Becky.
Is that true?
No.
She's playing one of the Beckys is playing a different role.
Yeah, she's playing a different character, yeah.
But even on the show, they kind of made fun of it. I remember there was an episode where they were watching, the Connor family was watching Bewitched, and it was the episode where they switched Darrens, and somebody in the family said, wouldn't a family notice if there was just somebody new playing a character? And they all made fun of it because both Beckys had just been on the show.
Yeah, I don't think it was that funny.
No, it was not funny.
That episode, Bill. No, I didn't really like that episode.
Stunt John Goodman? Of course not. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more with Kurt Wagner. If you have any questions or comments, we're easy to reach at 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. And John Goodman on WGN. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. So the big casting news over at Roseanne is what exactly?
Oh, Emma Kinney, who plays Debbie Gallagher in Showtime's Shameless, will star as Darlene and David Connor's daughter. So that would be Johnny Galecki and Sarah Gilbert.
I don't think his last name was Connor, though. He had a different last name, didn't he?
That was my name.
That was your name.
Dan Connor.
That's right. That's right.
Come on, Bill.
Yeah, having John in the studio is just...
it's very confusing.
It's messing me up.
Very disconcerting. All right.
I don't know why, Kurt.
Casting news over at Saturday Night Live. This is in terms of who's guest hosting, right?
Yeah.
Some big names?
Yeah, they've already announced that Ryan Gosling was going to do the season 43 premiere.
43?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
But not the longest running show on network history. Belongs to?
The Simpsons. No, Gunsmoke?
60 Minutes.
60 Minutes. This year is season 50. This Sunday is season 50.
How about that?
Are we that old that Saturday Night Live is 43 years old?
Yeah.
Holy smoke.
So after Ryan Gosling, you got
September
some big
30th,
names?
Yeah, September 30th, you have Ryan Gosling and Jay-Z. October 7th, Gal Gadot.
Good call.
Wonder Woman.
Right.
And Sam Smith is the musical guest. Mm-hmm. And then October 14th, Kumail Nanjiani.
He's from The Big Sick, right?
With the movie.
And
the
also
Big
from
Sick.
Silicon Valley.
From Silicon Valley, yeah.
And Pink is the musical guest.
All right. All very good. Musicals on television have been a big hit the last couple years. Now, they've added one that wasn't originally a musical. I don't even know if this... Are they doing a musical version of it, or what are they doing over at Fox with Christmas Story?
There is a musical version.
I've seen that. I know that exists, so I don't know if they're doing the musical version or the regular version.
I think it is the musical version.
There is one.
With Matthew Broderick,
Matthew Broderick is now going to be the narrator, so he'll sort of be the voice of older...
Ralphie. So the Gene Shepherd part in the movie will now be Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, and Maya Rudolph is playing Ralphie's mom. That's the only other casting I think that they've announced.
That has good potential. Please tell me that's right at Christmas, is it?
It is. December 17th.
All right, good. Because sometimes they'll do a Christmas movie in May and you go,
oops.
I'm not sure that's
It's the live thing because that's the big deal is that they're doing all these live shows.
Well, that'll be good. Yeah, all right. And that's on Fox.
Yes.
Okay. The aftermath of Stephen Colbert hosting the Emmys is what? Are people happy or not happy, or how does it play out?
Well, he brought Sean Spicer out.
Yes.
To sort of spoof himself.
Yes.
And sort of spoof Melissa McCarthy's spoof of him.
Right.
And so a lot of people were up in arms over that. Like said, that Colbert shouldn't have invited him.
I thought
him
it was
on.
Really funny.
It was really funny. And
but was it funny, or was it just funny to have him out? I don't know if the bit was funny. I think it was funny.
It was so daring in a room full of people who despised him.
But my point is, the act was having him was funny.
Yeah.
But the actual, what he did wasn't really that funny.
His part wasn't necessarily supposed to be funny. He just sort of repeated what he had said in his very first.
Which was that the crowd was the biggest of all time.
Right, and that he said the Emmy viewership for the show will be the biggest of all time. So he was a little bit, I would say, mocking himself.
He was in on the joke, and he was his own punchline.
Yeah, but
I give him credit.
It was like the only real genuine moment looking at the crowd's faces on screen.
They were astonished.
Yeah, they were just shocked.
Who was the actress? There was a picture of an actress who had like this...
One of the girls from Modern Family.
Yeah, it's like, oh!
Yeah. And then it showed Melissa McCarthy, who kind of scrunched down a little bit in her chair.
Yeah.
But then, so after that, Trump the next day tweeted something about how it was deplorable. It was the worst Emmys and the worst ratings. And so,
he did it on Tuesday. He said last night Emmy Awards.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday.
And they had happened two nights ago.
Right.
So,
oops. Yeah. Did he use the word deplorable?
he had it in the, I think it was in the tweet.
Because think about that. Remember the deplorables?
People of them all Hillary Clinton's
that's kind of weird that he would use that same word.
I know.
Yeah, well, his tweet was, I was saddened to see how bad the ratings were on the Emmys last night. The worst ever. Smartest people of them all are the deplorables.
For staying away.
Yeah.
But so Colbert then on his show, you know, sort of took umbrage to that and said, no, I have it on good authority that we had the best ratings ever, you know, sort of bringing back up that he had had Sean Spicer on there. And then later he said it was actually the second worst. So later he said, and besides,
last year's was 1/10 of a point below. Yeah. Kurt Wagner's website is called TVShowPatrol.com. Visit it. It has a lot of fun things about TV. Kurt, thanks so much. We'll see you in a week.
Okay.
Good to see you, Kurt.
Thanks, John Goodman.
Bye, John.
A quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Jim in for Wendy and WGN. Kim, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff, and it's Jim Toronto who's in for Wendy. Wendy will return on Monday.
Are you sure about that?
And she'll be highly decorated.
Yes.
She's
she made the Hall of Fame, or what did she do?
Yeah, at That's RB cool. High School.
That's cool.
Was it fixed? Maybe. I'm not saying
Was she a first ballot inductee?
She was not.
Oh.
Some of the writers said she was good, but was she good enough to be in the Arby's Hall of... Not the Arby Roast.
Well, we all know how that goes.
Yes, we
Gee
do, Ron Santo.
Whiz, come on.
Yes, we do.
It's nice to have you in there, Wendy.
All right. This weekend, tomorrow in particular, is one of the most important days of the year for suicide prevention. The Out of the Darkness Walk takes place tomorrow. We're going to talk right now with Randy Vineyard. Randy has been on the show before. He lost his son, Jake, to suicide in one of those stories that's just beyond sad. Randy, this is every parent's worst nightmare. The last time we talked, I told you that, and you already know that. Do me a favor, if you wouldn't mind, just a little bit about Jake and his story.
Oh, good morning, Bill. And as usual, I thank you and Kevin for having me on.
Absolutely.
It really means a lot to me, and just thank you for staying in touch with me on a regular basis.
Sure.
It means a lot to me, partner.
Thank you. Me too. Randy, seriously, me too, because I can't overemphasize this enough, and you know this. Three beautiful children. You wake up every day, and you think about the miracle that those kids are, and the idea of losing one of them is absolutely the worst thought you could ever have, isn't it?
It's absolutely the worst thing that can happen to a parent. I've said it before. It's the nightmare nobody wants to go through. And just to correct you, I've got four beautiful children.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's all good. I wouldn't want to leave any one of them out.
No, because then they'd wonder which one of us is not the beautiful one, and I don't want to start that with your
they're
family.
They're all beautiful. My daughters, Caitlin, Kayla, and Haley, they're beautiful, same as my wife. I got a beautiful family.
Yes, I know. I know. All right, well, tell if you wouldn't mind, just a little bit about Jake and his story.
Yep. All right, so Jake, we lost Jake on April 8th, 2014, a day we'll never forget, obviously. It's stamped in our hearts. We lost Jake to suicide, and it was something we really didn't think would happen to us. And I know there's a lot of parents out there that probably say to themselves, "So this won't happen to us, or it can't happen to us." But it does. It happened to us. We lost Jake, and our lives have been changed forever. Jake was an outgoing young kid, 19 years old. Played drums. Baseball was his sport of life, and we lost him sadly to suicide. And unfortunately, like you said. I believe in your PSA announcement, it affects one out of five families. You thought that number was astounding, and it is. It's just a sad thing that happens to a parent that you never get over. I say that a lot. You never get over it.
Randy, what when something this devastating happens to you and to your family, I imagine there's a period that maybe never goes away, but it certainly hits you hardest when it happens there, where you say to yourself, "What do I do now? Now that we've lost him, who do I turn to? Where do I go? What did you do in those circumstances?"
Well, you know, in the beginning, everybody's there for you. You know, you can't turn away or look a different way without someone by your side. I mean, I had my guys were at my side. Kelly's friends were at her side constantly, but that eventually wears off. So you really don't have time to really think about what are we going to do. I mean, obviously there's that numb period where you don't know anything. I mean, the sky could be blue and it looks black to you. And there comes that time. What do you do? I don't know what that specific time was. I sat back and I think it might've even been on a day you and I had traded messages. It's kind of like, well, what do we do now? You know, So there's not an answer for it other than you got to do something. You can't just sit back and do nothing. It's too easy to do nothing. So
Kurt, my name is Jim. I'm filling in today with for Wendy. I just had a quick question. So many times we hear when a tragedy like this happens in somebody's family that the family itself then gets torn apart and things just begin to unravel. It sounds as though, even though this has been devastating, it sounds like your family has stayed together and worked its way through it. Is there something that you have been able to point to?
Well, first off, my faith in God is one of them. But I do have a beautiful, loving family. We have stayed together. Sure, there's tensions that come up, and we deal with them. But I said this at the celebration of Jake's life. We're a giving family. It's not something that we pat ourselves on the backs for. This is something that we've always been doing. We give in the community constantly, and we love doing that. We love serving our community, and it's just something that's in our blood. So we weren't totally used to people taking care of us. It was kind of the opposite, and that's kind of still what we're doing. We just have a redefined purpose now in what we're doing.
Randy Vineyard is on. We're talking about the Out of the Darkness Walk, which takes place tomorrow. You want to go to afsp.donordrive.com. All the information about the Out of the Darkness Walk is there. And then the Jake Vineyard Foundation is the website is the name, jakevineyardfoundation.com. Randy, it almost becomes surrealistic, doesn't it, at some point? You say to yourself, how could this possibly be happening to me, to the people closest to me, to my family? When that realization floats in and out, what is that like for you? Because you do realize it is real. It is really happening, but you don't want it to be real. So how do you handle that?
Well, you're right. You wake up every day and you say to yourself, boy, I wish, was it a dream? You know, can I walk down the hallway and see Jake again? And it's not a dream. It's real. It's real for our entire family. And it's a slap in the face. And it's a dose of reality every day, Bill.
But you know what you're doing that's good, and I hope you already know this, but I want to reemphasize it, is that for a long time this was kind of kept quiet, and now people are realizing that's not the answer. The answer is to talk about it to prevent it from happening more often, right?
Absolutely. The awareness, obviously being involved with this now for 4 years, the awareness just from since we lost Jake, our good friends Jim and Tina lost their daughter Issa 2 years prior, and that began the involvement. But just the growth that I've seen and the awareness, and like, I'm hats off to you and Wendy for doing that PSA. I mean, it brought me to tears because I saw that you guys got it, and I think that's what's happening is people are really getting the message and realizing this is something that you can't look away from. You can't just say it's never going to happen to me or I can't do anything about it. Yeah, everybody here, we're the most important people to the people that need the help. And it may not be a doctor that needs to help somebody out. It could be just a person helping somebody out. And that's kind of our focus going forward now is, to be there, to help promote, the talk line. Every other day or every week I put something out there on Facebook about awareness or that, somebody's always listening. So people need to be aware that, the phrase is not, not to coin the phrase, but it's okay not to be okay. And people need to be able to accept that and be able to talk to somebody about it. And a lot of times in the kids, the sad statistics, Bill, the leading cause of death, the third leading cause of death amongst 15 to 24-year-olds is suicide. And that's our youth. That's a young generation to lose. And a lot of times, it's related to mental illness. A lot of times it's related to bullying or it's related to something that contributes to them not feeling that, they're valuable. But it's going to take us. It needs this awareness, is going to take or needs us to help promote and make people feel that they're needed. Everyone matters. I mean, that's kind of one of my phrases I use. Like, you have a purpose. And that's kind of what we're doing going forward.
One of the hardest things about those numbers to fathom is that the numbers keep skewing younger and younger. And I do think what you just said is so important, is that bullying's a part of it. And now that social media is so much a part of every kid's life, if they're not dressed the way other kids want them to dress, if they don't talk the way that other kids want them to talk,
they're bullied, and the residual effect is there's self-doubt about themselves, and it's just an ugly spiral.
Yep, it is. And, you know, another form of bullying is exclusion, where you got groups of kids that will not include somebody because they're not the popular person, or, you know, they don't dress the same way, like you said. So it really starts, you know, it starts at home, obviously, but, you know, with kids aren't going to necessarily listen to their parents. They may listen to somebody else's parent. And, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to get people to talk and open up. It's disheartening to see young kids, you know, lose their lives. It really is.
Well, I give you and I give your family huge credit, because I think a lot of people, when they're hit with something this hard, they don't know which direction to turn, and they just let it kind of lie. And you guys decided to not let that happen. You decided to talk about it and let people know the importance of talking about it. And like you said, you do this pretty much every day. I follow you. I see your Facebook posts, and I know that some days are a lot harder than others, aren't they?
Absolutely, Bill. There's days where, you know, we say it all the time. We see other people's posts about, you know, dealing with grief and the loss of a child. You know, you got to get up. You got to get out of bed. You got to take care of your kids. You got to take care of your wife. You got those things you have to do. But you know what? A lot of times there's a mask that's being worn, and you don't want to necessarily show your true colors. And there's days like that. And then there's days where I can think of good times I had with Jake and watching him play baseball and things like that, that gets me out of that funk.
See, I was going to allude to this, but you just kind of did, is that I always think to myself, if something this awful happened to me, I don't know how I would ever get out of it. I don't know how I'd ever rebound, but you find ways to do it. What's something about him that you go to, Randy, if you don't mind? I know this is a personal question, but is there something that just automatically, just no matter how down you can possibly get, you say to yourself, Jake wouldn't want me to get this down, and I remember this. I remember this moment or this thing we did. What is it for you?
I'd have to say, just watching him play baseball, Bill. You know, I'm deeply involved with the baseball organization in our community, and you know, I think of the days that he played from T-ball, you know, back when we lived in Bartlett, all the way up to high school when he was a Rocket for Richmond Burton. That's kind of, you know, and the other thing is which I think is great, he played drums. He was an excellent drummer. He played in a band when he was in high school. And what I love is that both my younger daughters, Kayla and Haley, they're both percussionists now. Kayla plays snare in the marching band at the high school, and Kayla's in percussion at the middle school. And hearing them play and watch them play is like I'm hearing Jake.
Oh.
And I see Jake, and that means the world to me.
It's such an important story, not just Jake's, but when this happens to a family, I don't want it to go away. I know there are awful, painful memories, but the importance is what you're doing, Randy, what your family's doing, and really what the Out of the Darkness Walk is doing, and that's letting people know that it's not an isolated incident, that so many people, as we said earlier, one in five families is affected by suicide. Got to do something about it.
When is the walk?
The walk is tomorrow. The Out of the Darkness Walk takes place tomorrow. Where exactly, Randy, for people?
Yep, it's at Arbery Field. It's in Grant Park. It's the southernmost part. It's just right north of Soldier Field there. And we'll walk up the shoreline and walk back down Lakeshore Drive. And then they've got great speakers there. It's a great organization. I've gotten to know a few people with the organization. And, you know, sadly, they lost members of their family also. But it's a great event, because, you know, as family, you know, the first year I was still numb, but, you know, the last year really kicked in. You're seeing the other faces of people affected by suicide, and then the memory wall, seeing all the pictures of these people up on the wall. It's really amazing event.
It's the Out of the Darkness Walk. It takes place tomorrow. The website you want to visit is afsp.donordrive.com. Kevin, we can get a link up on our Facebook page, right? We'll get that link up right away for the Out of the Darkness Walk. And then Jake Vineyard Foundation is also online. It is, as the name implies, jakevineyardfoundation.com. The information is there. Randy, it's always good to talk to you. I know you've been through a lot, but the importance of this is it can't even be measured. Just the talking about it and letting people know, you know, what we can do to help make those numbers go down a bit.
Right. And I've said it before, is, you know, we our family just, we really want to turn our tragedy into a positive for somebody else. And that's the goal of our foundation and Jake's memory. And that's really what we want to do going forward.
You're doing it. You really are.
Thank you, Bill. I, like I said, hats off to you and Wendy for putting that PSA together. Hats off to WGN for promoting the walk. It's amazing just to see that type of support.
Thank you. I'm here for you. You know that.
I appreciate it, brother.
That's Randy Vineyard. Thanks, Randy. Have a good weekend.
Stay strong.
Take care, Bill. Good talking to you, Jim.
All right. Let's take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Jim in for Wendy on WGN. So the game plan is this now. Jim, you and I will head upstairs to the spacious seventh floor where we'll
broadcast. For the after party.
For the after party.
Yes.
Taylor Dane will perform.
Cool. Taylor That's, Dane?
Yeah, Taylor Dane's
coming
out.
How about Taylor
out.
Swift? What is this, 1987?
No, we saved money. We got Taylor Dane for
wow.
a lot less money.
I think she's going to pay you.
It's the online component, the bonus hour. It's always fun. It's unbridled. But before we go, I want to say thank you for coming in while Wendy's accepting a bunch of awards.
I only hope that next week she gets another.
She'll get another award.
I'm going to try to find and just make up some awards and then send her an email.
So that you get to come in.
Yeah, and then, I'm here if you need me.
If people want to see you live and in person, you're doing a play, aren't you?
Yeah, in between the Wendy Snyder Award season,
yes.
when I come in here to fill in. Yeah, I'm actually very excited. I'm in rehearsals. For a play, one of Agatha Christie's masterpieces called And Then There Were None. It's a classic murder mystery. It's got it was written in 1939, so it really is kind of like the original foundation of the great murder mysteries of everybody is trapped on an island,
right.
and all the people have something in common, and we don't know who the murderer is, and
right.
there's twists and turns, and so it's a really fun to do.
And who does the murderer end up being, Jeff?
Well, I can't tell you that.
What?
But the cool part of this production is apparently the original book, which was written in 1939, had an ending, and when it was turned into a play,
yeah.
the producers felt, well, I don't know if audiences are going to like that ending.
So they changed the ending.
So Agatha Christie changed the ending to be a little more. But what we're going to do is do both endings.
And let the viewer decide.
So before the show, the audience will be voting
yes.
as to which ending they want us to do straight through the play.
Yes.
And then there will be 2 minutes, the lights will go down, and then we will do the final scene of the other ending.
Oh.
So the audience,
a novel idea,
will see both endings.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's really cool. There's
That's what we do here now, as you and I head toward the stream.
Right.
People can tune into that ending on WGNradio.com or stay for the Steve Bertrand ending for the Wintrust Business Lunch.
So please, the show starts, opens up next Friday. We have only six performances, Friday, September 29th, the 30th, and October 1st, and then October 6th, 7th, and 8th. You can go to NR Players. It's NorthRiversidePlayers.com, or the phone number is 708-512-7015. So if you want to see me on stage.
That's fun.
Then, I'm having a good time.
Excellent.
It's a great role, and it's a great play.
Excellent. All right. We'll head upstairs. We'll find out what Steve Bertrand has next in the Wintrust Business Lunch. So stay here. It's Bill and Jim in for Wendy on WGN.